I would like to present Tomas. Tomas has 48 years sober.
My name is Tomas, and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'd like to give a special welcome, first off, to anyone who's new to the Trusted Program of Recovery, you know, from a hopeless, helpless state of mind and body. And I want to give a special thank, you know, to Mary Carol, Kayla, you know, and the board, you know, for inviting me. I came through the doors of the Alano Club through to Alcoholics Anonymous 50 years ago. But I don't have 50 years clean. I have 48 years clean by the grace of God. So I guess I'm one of those old timers. You know, they say that the newcomers, you know, are the lifeblood of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and Al-Anon. The 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12-step program of Narcotics Anonymous, and the 12-step program of Al-Anon. Relieved from a hopeless, helpless state of mind and body. I walked in here, man, I was 12-stepped by my older brother. I come from an alcoholic, drug addict family. And in 1973, he came down from New Mexico because they heard way out there that I was having problems in Fresno. So he trusted me. He and his Al-Anon and my Al-Anon. They brought me to a meeting in here, and I felt like a trapped rat. And when I got here, man, there, I looked around, you know, and there was a bunch of guys here. They looked like they were in jail when I was there. But there was a difference. And the difference was, when I was in jail, nobody ever talked about God. Nobody ever talked about the higher power. But I heard these guys, man, and they all talked about the higher power. So I'm grateful and thankful, man, to be a little part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I want to thank you guys, man, for making me feel special. I'm very grateful, man, for, you know, the program, the Trusted Program of Recovery. It's here for all of us. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether you're from jail or Yale. It's here for anybody that wants it, you know what I'm saying? But I came here, man, and, you know, I felt, you know, that these guys had something, you know, that I wanted, you know. But I was still, you know, not that tightly wrapped. So I say to myself, you know, maybe I'm an alcoholic, man, and I won't drink, but I'll keep using dope. So from 73 to 75, I didn't drink any alcohol, but I used an awful lot of dope. In those days, you know, there was a lot of psychedelic drugs. And I'm reminded of that, man, whenever I look at all these lights. Because I wanted to see the light. They would tell me, when are you going to see the light? But, you know, I went out, man, and I ended up in the hospital, man. You know what I'm saying? I come from the hospital. I was at the Valley Medical Center, you know, as a result, you know, of a broken hip and leg. I was there for what seemed like a lifetime, you know. And as soon as they took me there in an ambulance, man, and I thought to myself, well, if it's a hospital, there's got to be some drugs. So I went into, you know, the waiting room, you know, and started creating a disturbance. Give me something, give me something. So they gave me a shot of morphine. I wasn't feeling any pain, man. You know, I felt a niche on my knee. You know, I was out, you know, and I felt a niche on my knee. Then it got harder to where it woke me up. And when they woke me up, there was a fellow drilling a hole through my knee, man, with the kind of drill you used to drill through metal. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, give me some, give me some. So they give me another shot of morphine. And I remember going under and thinking to myself, shit, I think I'll break my other leg. I was getting a shot of morphine every 3 hours, man, you know. And asking, crying for more. Which takes me back, you know, to some Christmas stories that I'd like to share with you. You know, you better not cry, I'm telling you why. I grew up incarcerated as a youngster. I was in and out, you know, detention centers. And you know, when you're incarcerated, you make a lot of friends. And one of the many times that I was incarcerated was around Christmas time. This is my Christmas story. I was not supposed to get out until after Christmas. And I was praying, man. I was getting on my knees, because I always did that when I was in trouble, you know. I would get on my knees and I say, God, get me out of here, man, so I can spend time, you know, with my brothers and my sister and my mother and my father, man, for Christmas. On Christmas Eve, the warden came over and he says to me, we're going to let you go, Tomas, with conditions. We don't have any vehicles to take you back to the county jail, because that's where they would release you from, the county jail. So the reason we can't take it is because the officers are enjoying the holiday, man. They're with their family, so we have no transportation for you. So you can either stay until after Christmas, or you can walk. I said, shit, I'll walk, man. And I remember, man, like if it was today, it was snowing, man, and I'm walking home, and I say, okay, God, now I'll take over. The same thing happened in the hospital, man, when I was here in Fresno. I've been here since 61. You know, if you can make it in Fresno, you can make it anywhere, man. I mean, the first night that I was in Fresno, I was robbed. They took everything that I had. Stereo, some jazz records. I didn't have very much. But, you know, the best thing that's happened to me, man, is coming to Fresno. Coming to, you know, the Alano Club. And coming to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know. I was in the hospital, man, and I'm getting a shot of morphine every 3 hours, you know, and crying for more, you know. And the nurse comes over and she looks at me and I was white as a sheet. And she says, damn. They start giving me a blood transfusion. You know, I got hoses coming up my arms, man, you know. They said I was bleeding internally. So I go again. God, help me out of this, and I'll change my ways. And he answered me, man. He answered me right here in Fresno on the fourth floor of the Valley Medical Center. He says to me, you know what, Tomas, every time you're in trouble, man, you ask me to help you. And then I help you, and you turn around and do the same damn thing over again. And I'm fed up with your ass. And I'm going to let you die. So I pick up the telephone, man, and I call home. I say, Mama, bring me the rosary. I've had it this time. She didn't want to see me anymore, man. No, she was fed up with me. So I start to bless everybody, you know, the custodians, the nurses. Anybody that's walking by, man, I'm blessing them. You know. They released me out of the hospital, you know, with a body cast that weighed more than I weighed. Somebody told me the other day, hey, they brought you in a, you know, surgery or whatever the hell they call that. Anyway, they released me, you know, with a body cast on that weighed more than I did. It was all the way up to my chest. And that's how I walked into the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. There was a fellow by the name of Travis. Good alcoholic. He's buried here in Clovis. He took one look at me and he says, Tomas, it's a time for prayer. So I kept coming to the meetings, man. They had released me from the hospital with a prescription of codeine. After that meeting, man, I went home and I flushed that codeine down the toilet. You know what I'm saying? And I haven't had, you know, any chemicals whatsoever, man. No alcohol, you know, no codeine, and no heroin, no reds, no blues, no nothing, man, since I came to you people, man. But more important than that, man, is the change that's taken place in my life. The change that's taken place with my family, you know. I learned from you guys, man. I threw myself, you know, into service work. Matter of fact, today we were on the 10th step. You know, love without conditions. I learned how to live, man, in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know how to live. I didn't know how to love. I learned how to live and I learned how to love from alcoholics and drug addicts. And these are the people that I grew up with, man. You know what I'm saying? Alcoholics and drug addicts. Where I come from, man, you know, I'm originally from New Mexico, Southwest Albuquerque. And you know the New Mexico State Prison? The majority inmates in New Mexico State Prison are from Southwest Albuquerque. So that's where I grew up, man. You know what I'm saying? But when I came here, I thought, hey, man, I won't have to go to jail anymore. See, I was always lying to myself, man. I ended up, you know, in Carruthers Branch Jail, you know, more than once, the county jail. You know. But, you know, I kept coming back to the meetings, man, and I was told by the people that were here, this program is not going to work for you, man, unless you admit to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic. Otherwise, the program's not going to work. And it's true today, man. I can't tell you how much I admire, man, Narcotics Anonymous, for the people that you help. We help people here that nobody else wants to help. You know, when you suffer from the flu or COVID or whatever, people want to help you, man. But if you suffer from the disease of alcoholism or drug addiction, shit, nobody wants you around. So, you know, I had to admit to my innermost self, I had a difficult time doing that, man. Because I've been living a long time lying to myself. A liar, a thief, and a cheat. I had buried my innermost self, man, with lies. So I had a hard time admitting to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. So, but I did it. I didn't drink, I didn't use, and I admitted to my own innermost self that I'm an alcoholic. It's the best thing that I've ever done for myself, man. Then, you know, I came, they told me, you know, you're going to have to come to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. The beginning of the end of the old life. And the beginning of the emergence into a new life. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Hey, man, what you guys do here? Doctors can't do that. Educated people can't do that. The court can't do what you do. Nobody else can help, you know, the alcoholic or the addict the way you guys do. I see it on a daily basis, man, because I come to meetings on a daily basis. I see all the help that you're giving people here. I see all the help that you're giving people over here. And that's what we're here for, man, to help people. We're not here to hurt anybody, man. You know, nobody here's going to ask you to go rob a liquor store, you know. Then I had to make a decision. Let me tell you something about making that decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand Him. A God that's personal to me. You know, my wife recently had back surgery. And she's fallen down twice. We'd have to take her, you know, to the emergency. And myself, you know, I'm with chemo, radiation, you know. It takes all your strength, man. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't able to lift her, man, you know. And I thank God, you know, for my grandchildren and my children because they helped me. But the other night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a loud boom. It woke me up. Right away I ran to see how my wife was doing, you know. A transformer blew up, you know, where I live, and all the power went off. You know? And it was out all day, and it was colder than hell, man. I went over, man, and I said, you know, the third step prayer. God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me, to do with me as Thou will. Relieve me from the bondage of self that I may better do Thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy glory, thy love, and thy way of life. Amen. It wasn't a minute after that when the power came on. I said, wow, man. You know? So, you know, God listens to us, man. God loves the alcoholic. You know, when the drug addict. God loves the alcoholic, the drug addict, and the Al-Anon, man. For the help that you give people. For the help that you've given me. I thank God for this program. They said, hey, you're going to have to take, you know, a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. Well, see, I was always looking at what was wrong with you or anybody else, man. I didn't know what was wrong with me, man. I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know what it was. In the fourth step, man, I found out what it was. And that's why, you know, I love having the big book with me, man. It's kind of like my security, you know. And I want to share something with you guys, man, that helps me a great deal. And somebody said, you know, if you hold the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous in your hand, you're holding all the ingredients of the mighty Alcoholics Anonymous program. But this gives me a lot of rest, man, a lot of acceptance. It's on page 14 of the big book. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant the destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of light who presides over us all. I didn't know I was self-centered, man. Until I came to you guys, man. Until I made an effort to look at what the hell was wrong with me. Because I was always looking at what the hell was wrong with you. So it's all here, man. The 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Are here for all of us. But if you're like me, it's going to take you a while to live the steps. They say you read the steps, then you work the steps, then you live the steps. And, you know, things always work out better for me, man, when I place God first in my life. When I place the higher power first in my life, things always work out better for me. Matter of fact, that's why I'm here. I wouldn't be here by myself, man. You know what I'm saying? Before I came here, I got down on my knees. I said, make me a channel of thy peace. I do that whenever I'm asked to speak. And occasionally they invite me, and I'm really delighted now, man, because it's the second time, you know, that I've spoken in front of the people from Narcotics Anonymous. I was invited once before, you know, over at the old Veterans Hospital Auditorium, you know, and I spoke to, you know, a group of Narcotics Anonymous. They invited me, man, and I'm grateful and thankful. But, you know, we need each other, man. We need each other. In Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of us, man, if you're like me, you don't need anybody. That was my attitude. You know, I don't need anybody. So I made the searching, fearless moral inventory of myself to the best of my ability. It doesn't be perfect. It's not perfect. It's progress, not perfection. You know, it's taken me a while, man, to get to that place where I can have a better sense of my life. You know, it's hard to make sense of my life, man, when you don't have any sense. And then I was asked, man, you know, to admit to myself, to another human being, you know, the exact nature of my wrongs. You know, I didn't trust people, man. But, you know, I got me a sponsor. You know, my sponsor has 51 years sober. My older brother, the one that trusted me over here, he's got 58 years sober. And you know, he's still doing the same deal that you guys and I am doing. No different. You know, with 58, 51 years of sobriety. You know, God willing, man, I'll have 49 years in May. But it's all there for all of us, man. It's all there for all of us. Then, you know, we admit to God, to ourselves, to another human being. You know, get yourself a sponsor, man. You know, I was here one time, and there was a guy by the name of Jack Van Meter. And he says to me, do you have a sponsor? I said, yeah, I have a sponsor. He says, well, who's your sponsor? I said, Bernard's my sponsor. He said, well, I'm Bernard's sponsor. We'll both sponsor you. Next thing I know, man, I'm on my way to Tehachapi State Prison, man, with my sponsor and his sponsor. I'm sitting in the back seat. They're in front, and I'm listening to them, man. I'm listening to my story, you know. I get to Tehachapi State Prison. I related more to the inmates, man, than to the people out here. Anyway, they told me you have to become entirely ready. You have to become entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Well, you know, whenever I was drinking and using drugs, you know, the few people that cared about me used to ask, why do you drink so much? Why do you use so much? But I didn't want to hear that. But you whispered to me, Tomas, let's go get loaded. Shit, I hear you a mile away. I was ready. I have to be just as ready, man, to work the program of Alcoholics Anonymous as I was ready to drink and to use drugs. Because look, man, if I wasn't drinking and using drugs, I was thinking about drinking and using drugs. So my stinking thinking is what led me to drinking. You know? And a meeting a day keeps the stinking thinking away. My thinking is a lot clearer now than what it used to be. I'm not saying that I'm, you know, it's that clear, but it's a hell of a lot better, man. You know what, man? I was never home. Today, man, you know, I enjoy being home. You know, there was another lady here that I met by the name of Betty A. I was new in the program, okay? I threw myself into 12-step work. Okay? I threw myself in, you know, into carrying the message, man, to other alcoholics in prisons and in institutions. Those are the guys that raised me. That's what my sponsor did, and I just followed it in his steps. Matter of fact, I was a coordinator for H&I for 2 terms here in Fresno. But, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, man, I learned, man, that in order for me to stay sober, in order for me to stay clean, I had to give it away to keep it. You people taught me that. You have to give it away to keep it. You know, if you've only been here, man, for 6 months, there's probably a guy coming in, man, that's only been here for 6 hours. Matter of fact, one of the highlights of the meetings that I come to, and I come to meetings as often as I can, man, is when I see the newcomers, you know, get into action without being asked. I see it here every day, man. I see them get up, man, and help with the coffee, help with the seventh tradition. Newcomers. When I look at a newcomer, man, it's like looking in the mirror. I seen a young couple come in here, man. It reminds me of myself and my wife when we first came in here. But, you know, again, we become entirely ready. This is a step that separates the men from the boys, the book tells us. What I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't play unless I could get my way. I wanted everything my way. That was one of my problems of selfishness and self-centeredness. Then they said, humbly ask him to remove your shortcomings. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of my life, both the good and the bad of me. I pray that you now remove every defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and to my fellows. Grant me strength as I step out from here to do thy bidding. You know, I shared that prayer with Mary Carroll the other day, man. She came over to help me because I'm not that steady on my feet anymore, man. The chemo beat the hell out of me. But I need strength. And you know, I get strength, you know, from being in Alcoholics Anonymous. I get strength, man, from being with you guys. You know? Then they asked me to make a list of people that I had harmed. Well, you know, I harmed a lot of people, man. But I was told that if you've harmed a lot of people, help a lot of people. Help a lot of people need help. I need help, man. And nobody can help you if you don't ask for help. One of my sponsors, he passed away with 37 years sober. That was my first 12 step, you know, R.E. He used to say, Alcoholics Anonymous is not going to go after you. You have to go after Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's the same thing with Narcotics Anonymous, man. Look for the similarities, never mind the differences, man. We're all one drink away from the drunk. I may have another drunk in me, but I know I don't have another recovery. You know what I'm saying? I made a list of people. Most of the people that I had harmed, man, was as a result of selfishness and self-centeredness. You know what I'm saying? We're not here to harm people. You know? I couldn't get along in my own home. I was doing, you know, H&I work, but I, at home, man, you know, I felt that I didn't want to be there. I'd ask God, man, don't let me go in that house alone. Today, I love going home, man. You know, this Betty A that I mentioned to you, another Christmas story. When I got here, man, I didn't have a dime to my name. I had squandered everything. I had lost, you know, a clothing store that I had downtown as a result of, you know, drinking and using drugs. I lost a home that I had in Monterey. I came here empty. I went on a 12-step call with Betty A. We went to this halfway house for women. They needed a custodian, you know, and they, hey, man, I needed work, you know, I needed work bad, you know. And so she and I, we went on a 12-step call. Right around, you know, the holidays. After the 12-step call, everything started here at the Alano Club. Everything, the H&I, everything started here. After that 12-step call, man, she drove, because I wasn't driving. Thank you. She drove and she stopped by the food bank over on Chestnut and Belmont. She opens up her purse, man. She takes her food stamps out. She rips half of them up and gives them to me. She says to me, Tomas, you have all those children at home, man. Buy some groceries. Take something home for the holidays. Shit, man, I got all kinds of bags of food, man, you know, potatoes, a chicken, you know, a cake. I went home with about 3 bags of groceries. I walked in the house, man, and I laid the groceries down on the table. All my children and my wife, my significant other, my Al-Anon was there. And I laid the bags of groceries down, and they all looked at me like I was from outer space. I hadn't done that in a long time, man. Betty A. She was an old-timer, man. She's passed on, too. Anyway, I was told, you know, to make a list. To make a list. And there's an old saying. You want to light up a room? Leave it. Hey, man, trying to run other people's lives, man, doesn't get it. You know what I'm saying? My daughter says, you can't control people. And then my wife says, you can't even control yourself. But, you know, I'm so grateful to be here, man. And the ninth step, we're in the ninth step now, where we make direct amends to those that we have harmed. I don't know, man, you know, since I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I don't have too many people that I have to make amends to. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect, man. What I've learned in AA, man, is to promptly admit when I'm wrong. You know, when we continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. Hey, I'm a little faster now, man. I'm a little faster now to admit when I've done something wrong. I'm a little faster now to say, hey, I was wrong, man, and I'm sorry. Hey, I used to carry that shit with me for days, man. You know what I'm saying? For days, man, I would carry that, you know, with me. But I've gotten faster at it. I still screw up, man. You know what I'm saying? It's progress, not perfection. But we continue. That's the strongest word in the 10th step, man. We continue to take personal inventory, and when we're wrong, we promptly admit it. You know that booby trap? That emotional booby trap? It's like, you know, it's like hunters. You know, hunters or the police. They'll set a booby trap for you, man, you know. So you have to be careful. I have to be careful about that emotional booby trap. Hey, I've been having a nice day. The coffee pot breaks down. Next thing I know, the world's ending. Five minutes, okay. One of the largest steps is when we seek through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand Him. Lord, make me a channel of Thy peace, that where there's hatred, that I may bring love, that where there's wrong, that I may bring the spirit of forgiveness, that where there's discord, that I may bring harmony, that where there's error, I may bring truth, that where there's doubt, I may bring faith, that where there's despair, I may bring hope. Amen. You can lose your money and you've lost something. You can lose your home and you've lost something. You can lose your honey and you've lost something. But if you lose hope, you've lost everything, man. That's what we have here at the Alano Club. We have hope in Alcoholics Anonymous and in Narcotics Anonymous. I come here, man, on a regular basis, and I see all the people, man, that you guys are helping on a regular basis. Then today we were on the 12th step, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. We try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Hey, that's love without conditions. I learned how to love from you guys, man, from Alcoholics Anonymous, from the people in Alcoholics Anonymous, from alcoholics and drug addicts in Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that, I'm gonna shut up, and I wanna thank all of you guys for listening to me.